Philippians chapter 3. Finally. So, Paul wrote this book to the church at Philippi. And he's now going to conclude, though there's another chapter, he's going to conclude what he's been talking about, chapters 1 and 2. Finally, my brethren, my brothers, this is not addressed to the world, this is addressed to the church. Now, traditionally, today is 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead. So traditionally, this is called Pentecost, means 50. And in the Jewish calendar, they celebrate it according to the moon, I believe, whereas we always celebrate it on a Sunday for the sake of the Lord. But regardless, it always happens about the same time, more or less, a few weeks to a few days to sometimes right on the same exact day.
What are the Jewish people celebrating?
Because this is the festival of Shavuot. And so they had the three spring festivals. Those are the first three. And so that's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits. And then they also celebrate this one in the middle. And then there's three in the fall. So this is Shavuot. And on this day, the high priest would take the harvest that had just come in, and they would beat it up and make put it in the oven and make loaves of bread. There were two loaves. When Jesus died on the cross, it was unleavened. There was no leaven in it, following the Exodus. But on this one, since it represents the people of God, not Jesus, but his followers, both loaves are leavened. They have leaven in them. So, in other words, there's still sin in the church. In other words, the church is not perfect. So the leaven is an example that though the process has begun, started with Jesus, chair 4, then it starts in chair 5 with Pentecost, and then it ends in chair 6, the last three festivals, which is trumpet, atonement, and then finally booths. So those seven festivals, this is the middle. This is the one 50 days after the spring. And that was another harvest time. So I'm not going to go into those, but you asked. So it's a Jewish festival. And something new happened on this day. It never happened before. This was the birthday of the church. This was the day that Jesus said, wait in Jerusalem, kathizo, sit down. Do not go anywhere. And so they waited all those days. Jesus taught them for 40 of those days. And then they sat in the house, basically, for 10 days. In other words, they all took up their abode in that house for 10 days, and there was a big company of about 120 people, and those 120 people received the baptism of the Holy Spirit on that day. And that is different than when Jesus resurrected on the first fruits, the day of first fruits, which was a Sunday. When he resurrected on that day, that night, that evening, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. But that reception of the Holy Spirit is contrasted with this one. That one was for new birth, regeneration, chair 4. This one, however, is empowerment for ministry. So the first one was tied to water baptism. The second one was tied to spirit baptism. And so the differences are multitudinous. But basically on this day, instead of 120 people dying in the Old Testament, when Moses brought down the law and he saw the people in sin, and about 120 died, And there were 120 letters on the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments had 120 exactly letters on it. Still does. In Hebrew. And you can count it in the English Bible. And then on this day of Pentecost for the church, since though we have sinned and though there's leaven in the bread, the truth is that by the mercy of God, the forgiveness of sins, we're not under the law or the letter of the law which killeth. We're under the spirit of the law which giveth life. So that's why they all spoke with tongues on that day as the Holy Spirit lit upon each one individually, not as a group, though the whole group received it, but they received it individually, and each one then spoke in his own native language, the language of his birth, as David said. That was indicative of the fact that we reach out to the whole world from there, because God spoke through the Holy Spirit to each one of us in every tongue on the face of the earth. And so therefore, that's where the languages began. Tell the good news, preach the good news to everybody in their own language. And that's why Wycliffe, in our day, decided to reach out to 2,000 tongues that hadn't yet been translated. Now, I believe it's not only, and they did, they got thousands of tongues done, but now they found out there's many more thousands, so they're still going. I don't know what the ultimate number is, but it looked like every time they translated another New Testament, there'd be some more. And so it's like they never have caught up. But Jesus said, don't worry, because when I come back, that's when I'm going to take my bride. So that's the seventh, 5, 6, and 7, that is those festivals. All right. So this is happy birthday to the church. This is when the church was born. In other words, they were born again individually, but they were not yet a church. That often happens to us. You get born again in a variety of ways, not always in a church or connected to a church. You just simply meet the Lord, maybe through meeting a brother or a sister who witnesses, or someone at work, or there's so many ways, radio and television, there's lots of ways, reading a book. Multitudes of people still get saved, but also big evangelistic campaigns, just churches going door to door and knocking on your door. So there's so many ways to get this truth out, this speaking the truth in love. First of all, you have the truth, but love causes you to take that truth to others. Otherwise, we'd have the truth and just keep it for ourselves. But at Pentecost, they had no choice in the matter. Jesus had already spoken to them and said, go into all the world. In other words, as you're going, wherever you go, don't just stop with Jewish people. So, this good news is for everybody in every ethnic group, everywhere in the world. That's what it's saying. It says, go into all the world. But it really, in the Greek, it's saying, as you are going, then preach this good news, and don't stop with just Jewish people. Everybody, it's for everybody. The good news is not for somebody. It's for sinful, wicked people, and then everyone else. Well, there isn't anybody else. So it's for sinful, wicked people. How many know that we're all sinful and wicked? Now, you may not know that. So I have to ask that question, which is obvious. To me, it's obvious. Because I know, and I'm convinced that I was wicked, sinful, selfish, and nasty. And I know that I needed Jesus Christ. I mean, I had to convert. I was not born into the faith or born into the church. So I was the world that Christians reached out to, and I didn't even want it. I definitely didn't want it. But now it's my whole life. So thank God for God seeking me out. I mean, if I were God, I would not have, because I'm not worthy, not at all worthy. And I would just have, I mean, I wasn't looking for him, so what was he looking for me for? But he knew I needed help. And I rejected him over and over again. I don't want to know this stuff. I just want to paint bulletin covers for churches. That's all I want to do, and make a ton of money. And that was my goal, because I knew someone who did that. They made a ton of money. And I thought, God, that is so easy. You just do these, once a week you do a cover. It's so simple. You have all week long to do it. I can do it in an hour, you know, or whatever, half an hour. That is a good job. And they paid about 15 times what my dad made. You know, so that's the job for me right there. I'll become wealthy overnight. And I loved the idea. So I didn't have any love for God or knowledge of God or whatever. And I forced myself to go to a seminary because I thought they knew something about God probably. I learned a little bit about it so I can paint some pictures that agree with that idea. That's why I went to Yale. That's why I went. I went just to learn about God. What do you guys know about him? You know, I need to know, because I don't have any personal interest in it, but I have to paint these bulletin covers and so on and so forth. So I'm going to need to know. How many know that that is called a shallow person? It's completely a form. Religion to me was not anything personal. It was just a form. People did it, and thank God that they didn't steal my hubcap, so I was okay with the church. But I really had no interest in it at all. I didn't even think of the word sin, or that didn't even mean anything to me. I was just a hedonist. You know what a hedonist is? It's just somebody who avoids all the trouble and tries to get all the good. You know, just pleasure from my flesh. That was about it. And so I was completely happy about that. I could do what I wanted, when I wanted, how I wanted. And I didn't want this Pentecostal thing. I didn't want this religious thing mess up my life. I wanted to be rich. Has anybody here ever thought of that? I would like to be rich. And not only that, famous. You know, just worshipped. You know, stuff, ordinary stuff like that. How many here would like to be worshipped? You know, when you walk in the room, you know, people would gasp and so on and so forth. Well, it never happened. So that was kind of depressing. That I could get degree after degree after degree from the top schools, but it wasn't bringing me any happiness. That was my whole goal. That was all out for me. How many are liketh unto me a little bitty bit at least? Thank you. But I was gung-ho. You know, if you do something, do it with everything you got. So when I did convert, it was dramatic. It was supernatural. I mean, it wasn't anything I just made a decision or something. It was supernatural. God revealed himself to me, a sinner. I mean, I'm the last person he should have been interested in, because I look innocent and nice and kind and friendly and smile all the time and so on. But actually, inside I'm cold as can be. I have no love for anybody, didn't care about anybody, just used people, manipulated them, tricked them, deceived them, conned them. I was never thinking about how to be kind to the neighbor. That didn't make any sense to me. Why would you do that? I mean, I could fake it, yes, so I can get through the day. But I'm just after me. And I never, ever thought about someone else. I didn't think about my mother, my father's, three of them. I didn't think about anybody. I didn't care about anybody. I just wanted to get everything I possibly could. So this story of the Bible meant nothing to me. I didn't even want to know what it was, because it was of no interest. I mean, I had a focus. I'm going to know that's a good focus. It's totally me. Moi. I don't care for anybody else. And that would bog you down. If you cared for other people, you'd have to divvy it up a little bit. You know, a little bit for me and a little bit for you. No, I wanted all of it. So Peggy was surprised when she married me to realize totally, 100% out for myself. So that's why she used to ask, well, do you love me? No. I mean, now that we're married, I don't need to. I mean, I already got what I wanted. Marry me. Okay, that's good. That's out of my way. Now, let's do everything for me. Do y'all see what a great husband I made? Oh, that's totally out for myself. You know, there are other men like me. I'm not really unique. And then there are other men who lie and trick and deceive, and you marry them and you think they're a good person, and they turn out not to be good at all times. You can kind of put up with them, but the truth is they're definitely not perfect. So, I mean, I didn't deceive Peggy. She had her own foolishness to believe that my lies were true. Do you take this woman to, you know, and so on? Yeah, sure. You know, I mean, it was just, I just went through whatever motions I had to get what I wanted, and then that was it. And since I was artistic, bohemian, as soon as the thing was over, I was on to something else. I mean, I had a short fuse. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the Bible. But, I mean, I personally lived this Bible. What the Bible's talking about is God loves sinners. And I was a sinner. So I never argued with that. I never, as a pagan, thought, I'm not a sinner. Of course I am. I never hid it. You know, if somebody wanted to know, are you a hedonist? Yeah. It's just no argument about that. Yeah, I just want for me. And so, you know, Peggy was disturbed by that because she had her whole life been what she ought to be, and I was always what I was. You see the difference? Y'all see the difference? Do y'all know what I'm talking about? I was always just me. And I never had any mask or any hiding or any religion, or I had no morals. I had nothing. I just did what I did to get what I wanted. Y'all?
Yeah.
And it's not a normal church witness, but that's mine. But I never had kindness for anybody. Love, joy, peace. I never had any of those. mine was just pure pleasure. Just get for yourself as much as possible and cheat everybody else, step on them, you know, use them, abuse them. I had no sympathy for anybody. I still don't. I never sympathize with people. Because it's take your responsibility for yourself. If you're not happy, that's your fault. Do y'all see that? And so Peggy will wake me up almost every day. And Jim, I got, you know, I'm feeling this way or thinking this, and, you know, wanted sympathy, I won't give it. So we'll grow up. How many are excited about what I'm talking about? You know, yeah, everybody row their own boat. Everybody take care of yourself. I'm not going to take care of you. Now, Jesus ruined that in me, and now I'm a loving husband. But I wasn't that way from the beginning. And I sense Willis is like me. I don't know why. It just comes to me. That I sense that Willis is just like me. And Jesus has to kill him. He has to break him down like he broke me. Lord, don't spare Willis. Get him. Amen. Bust him. Smash him to smithereens. And if there's anything in him of the flesh, kill it. The guy's too strong. I know Logan's like me, so I don't have to worry about Logan. I don't want to pick on girls. I know Alex is just exactly like me, rotten to the core. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So Pentecost is an interesting day because on that day, men weren't just forgiven for their sins. Their sins now could be driven out by the Holy Ghost. Wow. I never even heard that part. I mean, it was tough enough for me just to get born again. But then I heard you could be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I thought, wow, what's that for? So you have power. Power to do what? You know, magic? What would you do with your power? And then I found out it was to make you holy. Oh, my gosh. I just wanted to sin and then be forgiven. I just wanted to keep sinning and just be more relaxed about it because, you know, God has to forgive you. Too bad for him, but he has to forgive you. Kill Jesus. He was my sub, so I'm okay. All I got to do is, do you rely on Jesus? Absolutely. Well, do you feel that? No. You understand that? Not really. But I'm taking it. I don't know what it is. It sounds like a free gift. I love free things. I don't know if you all love free things. Paying for things, that bothers me. But getting free things, I just love free things. Thank God for Pam. She always, at Christmas usually, gets me nuts and peanuts and things that I like. And I thank God for that. I don't even have to pay her for them. They're just like gifts. So what is there about gifts that is so neat? They're free. And you get to enjoy them and consume them and eat them and, you know, do whatever you do with them. They're great. So that's unconditional love. God unconditionally loves us. So first of all, he killed Jesus on our behalf of all of our sins. Now, those sins don't count against me. Like, got a free get out of jail card, free. You know, if I go to jail, he gets me out right away. Jesus, I know I said that and did that, but just forgive that. Thanks. Then I go about my business. Well, I find out there's more to it than that. There's actually a whole bunch of scriptures about behaving yourself. I did not want to do that part. I like the part where you misbehave, and then he forgives you and loves you unconditionally. I didn't like the part about be filled with the Holy Spirit and emptied of yourself. Where would I be? If I was empty to me, who would I be? I would have to be doing his stuff. You know, I'd never be able to be my own Lord, my own God, my own master of my, you know, ship or whatever it is. And I want to go to bed when I want to go to bed. I want to do what I want to say, what I want to say, you know, go where I want to go. You know, I love total freedom, anarchy, you know, totally. Just every man does what's right in his own eyes. That was me. Just whatever I did, that was right. Whatever you did to hinder me, that was wrong. And I don't look devious, but as I said, I thought about it night and day, how to cheat people and lie to them, deceive and con them. Is there anybody here that actually knows what I'm talking about? Yeah. I mean, we usually don't share that kind of thing, and certainly not in church. But I'm not like that now. Those things do not matter to me. But that took death. God is in the death business, chair 5. He's in the death business. And you cannot pray for that or get that. All you can say is, you know, God, look, I'm not going to get in your way, so if you want to kill me, go for it. But don't ask me to help you. Just kill me when I'm not looking or something, because I'm sure I'll fight you on it. I'm sure I'm not going to give up my sins readily. Is anybody here who has a few favorite sins? You got rid of most of your sins, but you got a couple of favorites. You know, in case something goes wrong, anger comes out, you know, or self-pity, or, you know, judgmentalism, or criticism, or, you know, whatever. How many have kept a few of those? Fear, that's a big one. I think a lot of Christians have a lot of fear in them. Fear actually grips them, and they're paralyzed. You know, they don't know how to function. Bitterness. I don't have any of that. I can't even remember all the things people have done wrong to me because I don't think about them. What a waste of time. Whatever I didn't do or did do, that's it. I am what I am. Do you all understand what I'm saying? I mean, life isn't what you want it to be, it's what it is. Right? So Peggy can do anything she wants to do. I forgive her. I don't have any rule for her. I don't have any law or expectation. Whatever she wants to say. If she wants to say, I love you 1 second and then kick me the next second, that's fine. That's the way it goes. I'll just try to avoid that if I can. But I'm not mad at her for hating me 1 second, loving me the next second, being inconsistent. I love that stuff. That's cool. Why? Because I'm like that. I can do that. How many know that Christians can still sin? I mean, Christians still have kept, I don't know where they have this little thing in the back of them that just in case I'm keeping this sin, that I can get you with it. So there's no, did you know that there's no perfect Christian? None. Only Jesus is perfect. And the only reason that I'm considered perfect by God is because I believed in Jesus. And then I got baptized in the Holy Ghost on Pentecost, the day we're talking about. So remember he said, and when they were all together in one place, suddenly the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them, and each one had a little fire kind of like thing over his head and began to speak in other tongues or their own native tongues. And the guy that was speaking Chinese didn't understand the guy that was speaking French and so on. And but they were all speaking and glorifying, magnifying God. And nobody knew, you know, what anybody else was saying. But when they went out into the streets, because the streets, there were about 3 million people in the city at that time, they listened to that and they went, wow. And then they found out that some of the people were speaking in a tongue they didn't even, that wasn't their native tongue. That was somebody else's native tongue. And here they are just, and they were just talking like that. And someone came up and said, wow, you're praising God. I am. I was just saying some words, I guess. They didn't know if it was an angelic language or a natural language, but that happens. And you could be speaking in a foreign tongue and not know it. That's why when I pray, I'm praying for someone in Indonesia or someplace. I don't know. I don't know the language. But I just open my mouth and out comes this language. And at first, I couldn't get it. I tried real hard to get it. Say, okay, God, what do I have to do? Just open your mouth. Nothing. Okay? Then they primed the pumps. And I remember some people saying, Shandalahai. You know, so I said that. Shandalahai. But that didn't do anything. Then I tried to do it quietly and softly. Shandalahai. But nothing worked. And I thought, well, God, I know there's a scripture that says, you have revealed this to babes, but hidden it from the wise. So because I'm so smart, I'm not going to get it, ever. So I kind of panicked over that. I thought, well, probably never get that thing because I think too much. I got too much brain up here, too much thought. Is anybody else like that? You know, your mind is always active. It's just constantly going. But when you read the Bible, you just do what he says without understanding. You don't understand. I mean, you know what he's saying to do, but you just think, like, rejoice in the Lord always. I just took that literally. So every morning I'd wake up and feel like staying in bed. I'd get up and say, I don't want to be in bed. I want to praise the Lord. You see what I'm saying? I just did it. I didn't care what my feelings said or what thoughts. And if I felt like, you know, something was wrong, I would just say, praise God that the wrong thing happened, but I praise God because he'll turn it to good. Every day I did that. For 3 solid years. I still do it. But I did it until one day I saw it. I mean, it just came like, that's it. I will never be unhappy again, period. And fear, blah, blah, blah. And so all of those sins just had no more power. And I realized, well, you just do what God says here. You don't have to see it to believe it. You just say it. And pretty soon, you believe it, and then there it happens. So anyway, this Pentecost thing is very powerful. If you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you can't sing in another tongue or speak in another tongue, you don't really have the power you need because you're still full of yourself. So the point of filling something up is to empty it. If I'm full of air and you put water in me, I'm filled with water, but emptied of air. So whatever's in you, you get filled with the Holy Spirit. And I didn't have any of that Holy Spirit. And I got that Holy Spirit came in and pushed out the Jim spirit. Then it was the Holy Spirit. I was no longer Jim. And, you know, I liked it. It was an amazing thing. I said, hey, this is good. I like this. I'm actually doing things I never could have done or thought or said. This is better than thinking. You understand what I'm saying? Whatever the Bible said, that's it. If the Bible says something, I just take it for what it says. I don't have to understand it. I just believe it. I totally believe every word that's in the Bible. And that's why I learned Hebrew and Greek, because I wanted to read the actual word. I want to know the exact word, what it means, because I want to do it. I don't want to talk about it. I want to do it. So if it says, rejoice always, then I always do it. Well, that doesn't give me any time to gripe or complain. Amen. So all the griping and complaining, it's gone. And if it says, love one another as Christ loved the church, or husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church, then I'm going to do it the way he says. I'm not going to feel it or understand it or want it. I'm just going to do it. Y'all see that? I don't waste any time. I have no wastage in my life. Peggy, You're the best. I don't have to stop and think, well, I hope I feel this. I don't care about feeling it. I hope I understand this. I hope she responds well to this. I don't do any of that. I have no psychology in me. Did you hear what I just said? I don't have any psychology. I never check it out. Well, emotions, do you like what we're doing? I don't ever ask that. Whatever the Bible says, I'm saying it. Whatever the Bible tells me to do, I'm doing it. That's it. And so it says edify one another. That means build up one another. So I can't brag and boast about me. I mean, I'm not going to do that. And so if I find myself doing it, I have to go back into the closet and say, God, I really wanted to boast right there. But you say, that's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. Therefore, I don't want to boast right there, and I'm not doing it. I'm going to build up the other person. So I'd come back, whoever it is, and just tell them, you're the best. You're such a blessing. What a joy to see you. That kills the flesh, empties you, and fills you with His Spirit. Because I'm just going to do what He says, and then one day I'll feel it. One day I'll understand it. One day I'll, you know, want to do it. But I don't care about all those feelings, thoughts, and desires and stuff. I don't care about them. But they tag along later. Have anybody noticed that? That when you step out in faith, you're going by the Bible, the Word. And it's not always alive. Sometimes you're feeling the opposite of what you just said. But I'm going to kill that by just simply saying the opposite. I'm going to say what God said to say. I'm going to do what God said to do. And that's called suffering. When you go against your emotions, your thoughts, your desires, and say, that's not true, that is not me. You know who I am? I'm a lover. You know who I am? I'm full of joy. You know who I am? And so on. Because the Bible said that. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and so on. So all of those fruits of the Spirit just come out. And I don't need to feel them or understand them or anything else. I'm doing it. And God doesn't want me to go like this. God, I'm full of joy. He'd say, Jim, your face doesn't sound like your mouth. You know, say, well, I know, because I'm feeling miserable right now, but I'm saying in your words. No, Jim, I didn't want that. I want you right now, stop that. You're sinning. Say you're joyful. I'm joyful. No, Jim, say it like this. Joyful. I don't want to say it like that. And you see how this is killing my old flesh. Say, good. Say joyfully. All right. I'm joyful. No, Jim, that is not very convincing. Just say it, really. Throw your hands up when you say it. I'm joyful. And pretty soon I start laughing because I realize, well, that wasn't so hard. And so God kills your flesh. Does that make sense? So you begin to walk in the Spirit, and pretty soon you don't need any tricks or anything. You just simply do it, and you don't even have to think about it because the Holy Spirit just moves on your life. And so I don't have second thoughts. I know a lot of people do. I don't have second and third thoughts and fifth thoughts and stuff. I don't have any of that. I wouldn't waste my time on it because I don't need my emotions to know something or my thoughts to agree with it or my desires to desire it. I never check with my psychological nature. That's dead. Right. Hello? Well, let's say, just imagine for a minute, that I just had sinned. What would I do about it? Well, the first thing is, I would admit it to God. I would acknowledge it to God. God, I just exaggerated. I just exaggerated. Well, how do you feel about it? That's not God. God would never ask that. That's the devil. Well, were you sincere? You know, God doesn't care about all that. He just said, Jim, I bought you with a price. You are no longer your own. You say my words. And so I'll change. Just like that. No thought, no strengthening myself or any trick. I just simply say it. And as I say it, faith cometh by hearing. It goes out of my mouth into my ear. Whoop, whoop. Just like that. And all of a sudden, I believe it. And, you know, pretty soon I'm saying and doing things that just like it says in the Bible. I'm experiencing heaven on earth. But I do it in faith first. And all my emotions are yelling and screaming. hit the guy, you know, or whatever. Get even, you know, whatever. So I don't ever trust myself. If I have a thought, I don't trust it. If I have a feeling, I don't accept that as real. As just something I felt, but it's not real. I know what feelings I have to have. Love, joy, peace, patience. I know what feelings I'm supposed to have. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. So if somebody asks me, anybody could ask me on the street, how are you today? Perfect. I'll answer just without a thought. Well, how's it going? Couldn't be better. Why? Because heaven on earth. Y'all see that? And so you don't catch me. You couldn't catch me off guard, depressed. And nobody's ever could catch me. I'm never depressed.
Amen.
I don't care what you would think. You see me maybe driving and I wasn't smiling or something. But I'm just telling you, I'm in joy. Why? Because that's what God said. That's what God said. I go with God every time. I go with me, never. So you're wrong. Whatever you're thinking is not true. I believe the Bible. I believe God. I believe God's word. And that's what the Holy Spirit does, is he rightly divides that word so that I divide between soul, what I think, feel, and want, and spirit, what his word says. That's the word of God. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing between soul and spirit. So all of a sudden now, my body follows not my heart, but it follows my soul. So my heart is already pure. I read that in the book. And since that's true, then all I have to do is kill my soul by not listening to it. How many listen to your emotions? How many are always checking your body? How many are always just psychosomatic? Our whole age is nothing but how do you feel, what do you think, blah, 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 blah. I don't have any of that. I don't belong to this world. I don't belong to this age. That's all witchcraft to me. I don't believe in any psychology, any of that philosophy, any of that nonsense. I don't believe in it. I have degrees in it. I just don't believe in one word of it. The Bible says it's all vain deceit. So I know how to be deceptive. I'm not. But I know how to. I was good at it. But now I don't want to. This is my life right here. This book is everything that's true. And Jim is not Jim anymore. There's no more Jim. Now, some of you could say, I saw you the other day. You yelled at somebody or something. Well, that's possible, but I'll tell you, it wouldn't last for more than a few seconds after I yelled at him. I was fine. But the Holy Spirit would say that night, Jim, don't be worshiping me without. Let's talk about that yelling thing. And it's gone. You all understand that? Because I'm not achieving this. I'm just believing this. I'm not achieving. I'm believing. I'm not achieving something. I'm believing something. You are a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away, the new has come. Perfect tense in the Greek language. So when it says the new has come, it's already arrived. That's kaino in the Greek. But otherwise it would be neos, new. Do I have to go now? Well, I didn't even get to Philippians. Is it time to go? Well, I got a few more minutes. Pentecost. What is it? I'm not going to get to Philippians. So
you actually kind of did.
Do what?
You actually kind of did.
Did I? Uh-huh. Good.
There's a lot of what you're saying in that chapter.
That's good, because I did read it. I did read it. I do love it. But it's powerful. The Holy Spirit is you, but it's not you. It's not the old you, but it is the new you. When the Holy Spirit comes in, you're suddenly holy by speaking in faith until it becomes a reality which other men then see and hear and know and experience, and they glorify your Father in heaven. And so it isn't you. So don't try to make it you. Don't try to put your fingerprint on it and say, I did that. You know, just say it. Don't be spiritual. Don't try to be spiritual. If you are spiritual, you are. He did that. And if you're not, you're not. You did that. So, since I don't believe me anymore, I just believe what God said. So I believe all of you love me. And you could come and kick me, I'd still believe you love me. Because I believe God wouldn't allow you to do anything that's going to do me harm, even if you hurt me.
That's right.
That's fine. Praise God. Go for it. Because I'm not afraid. Why? I know where I'm going. I know who I am. I know where I came from. I know where I'm going home. So I'm completely celebrating all the time. I don't fear the future, and I have no guilt over the past. I'm going to say it again. I have no fear of the future, and I have no regrets, no guilt over anything I didn't do or did do in the past.
Amen.
So I always celebrate in the present. Why? Because that's all there is.
That's right.
Because God always is. You know, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever because He always is. That's why He calls Himself, I am. God is, I am. In other words, I always am. He isn't in space and time. You can't put Him in a box down here. Because He's a spirit. And so God is forever and ever. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. But that's really referring more to Jesus than God. Why? God doesn't have a beginning. He has no ending. He always is and always was and always will be. So now I'm like that because He put the I am inside of me. Now apart from Him, I couldn't do it. But I'm not apart from Him because I believed His word. That word got into me and I bury that word in my heart that I might not sin against Him. If you want to stop sinning, bury the word in your heart. That's not hard. You just memorize it, and a good way to memorize it is don't. A good way to memorize it is just sing it over and over again when you're in the car. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You sing it 1,000 times. You can actually repeat it over and over again without going anywhere. Or you can just, I love you, Peggy. I love you, Peggy. You just do it. It's so easy. I don't have to feel that. I don't have to check that out. There's nobody I need to check that with. She's the best, most perfect wife I could ever have, just the way she is. I don't want her to change. I don't want her to improve. I don't want her to be, you know, different. Just be whatever you want to be. Be whatever you want to be. Do y'all see that?
Yes.
And it's the same for you. I don't care that anybody is what you ought to be. I want you to just be what you are. Even if you lie about it, I don't care. Go ahead and be a good hypocrite. You want to be a good hypocrite? Be a good hypocrite. I love hypocrites. We got a lot of them. There's a lot of them in church. They don't bother me at all. I just love hypocrites. Because I know they don't have a lot of joy. If you're a hypocrite, you're not having a lot of fun. Because a hypocrite has to work hard at that thing to keep that thing up. Get that mask up there. Put that mask up there. You know, you're always working at what you ought to be and should be and could be and might be and so on. Why don't you just be you? Because God sees who you are. Now, I don't care that you're a hypocrite because I don't believe you anyway. I don't believe a word you say unless it agrees with this word right here.
Amen.
So if you come and say, Pastor Jim, I love you. I don't care that you feel that. I just believe it. Because you just said it in faith. Now, if you felt it, that wouldn't add anything to it. Say, not only do I love you, Pastor Jim, I'm feeling it right now. No, that doesn't add a thing to it. Just say it. Just say it in faith. And David's like me. So just two pastors were both like that. I'm never going to get a psychological answer out of him. He's just going to always say the Bible. But it's not hypocritical. Because David actually believes it. I think he's fully persuaded. Am I right, David? It's too powerful. I'm fully persuaded. I mean, you don't have to persuade me. I'm already persuaded. I don't doubt anything in this book from cover to cover, Old Testament, New Testament. So Pentecost, what is it? It's when you're immersed in the Holy Ghost, heaven on earth,
hallelujah,
personally in you, for you, through you, to others. But first you're blessed yourself. Before God uses you for another one, He's going to first of all do something for you, then He's going to work it in you till you're dead, and then He's going to work it through you because you're dead, because you're no longer you. It's no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who died and gave Himself for me and loved you and all that stuff. Okay, so that is the new life in Christ. Stay always with these words. Don't go for your emotions. I don't want an emotional feeling. If I get it, I get it. But I don't count it as now I know that I know just because I feel it or understand it or grasp it. Now, I do. I get all of that. But I don't want that. I mean, I don't care about that. That is not important. I would believe it without feeling it, without understanding it, without desiring it. So I don't wait for that. I don't have to waste 1 second of my life. God, could I please feel it today? I'm feeling kind of blue right now. Could I feel pink? You know, I don't do that. I don't want any of that. I'm happy just to say it. And I believe totally y'all love me. You have to. Because it says so in the Bible. Did you know that you can sit down and God will prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies? If my enemies have to watch me eat at the table, imagine them trying to get me and they can't because I'm still eating. I haven't finished yet. Want some Cheerios? Okay. I'm going to finish this here. And there's nothing they can do. The enemies can't get me because Jesus, he likes me and he protects me. Oh, don't touch him. No, put that back. And so God is always favoring me wherever I go. Why? It's written down in the Bible. All things work together for the good of them that love the Lord. Well, Pastor, how do you know you love the Lord? I do, because it says so in this book. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. That's me. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Wow, I'm all those things. Whatever it says, that's me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. He that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. That's Pentecost. Amen. Pentecost is different than just believing something in the head knowledge. You're like, well, I read it and I believe that. I believe that. It's not just believing it. It's believing faith active in love. The truth spoken in love. That's how you know that's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
All right. Amen. God is good. I hope you're blessed today.